It was not, it turned out, coming home. At least not quite. What has come home in the wake of England's near triumph in the recently concluded European Football Championships is a hefty flock of chickens to roost, and noisily so, in the vicinity of several senior British politicians. Before we contemplate the political context, it is important to recap England's recent football history. They are intimately intertwined. 5 years ago, England were bounced out of the previous Euros in the most humiliating circumstances imaginable. Their team of preening superstars duffed up in the round of 16 by Iceland, appearing against all odds at their first ever international tournament and coached by a village dentist from Vestmannaeyja. The secret of great comedy being timing, the considerable global gaiety aroused by this astonishing upset was amplified by the fact of it occurring less than a fortnight after the UK, with England's vote vastly the decisive factor, chose to leave the EU. The bait-and-switch gags wrote themselves about how this strange and insular island people huddled on the edge of Europe, morbidly obsessed with fishing rights, had lost to Iceland. What England's football team has accomplished in purely sporting terms in the 5 years since has been little short of miraculous. Under new manager Gareth Southgate, they reached a semi-final of the 2018 World Cup, and in Sunday's European Championship final fell short by an agonisingly slender margin. Had a meagre few things happened not much differently, England might now be reigning world and European champions, and Southgate entitled to be addressed as Sir Gareth. Even though he doesn't seem the type who'd insist. But it's England's, specifically this England's, non-sporting enterprise which has prompted an illuminating amount of brouhaha off the pitch. This England is not, it is fair to say, a usual England. Southgate's squad radiate none of the surliness, sulkiness or prima donna tendencies associated with their recent predecessors. They are affable, humble, and altogether impossible to dislike. And for perspective, remember that this is an Australian talking. They are also, and here we approach the nub of the matter, given to off-field recreations rather different to the expected routines of golf and falling out of nightclubs. Even before the tournament began, England and Manchester United striker Marcus Rashford had helped the charity Fair Share feed kids no longer receiving free school meals.
The way to deal with it is by increasing the funds available for universal credit, but also to put more into local councils.
And embarrass the government into continuing to provide such sustenance through the summer holidays.
It's just crazy to think that this is still going on at this. You know, we're in 2020 now, and it's just something that I don't believe should be happening.
At the recently concluded Euros, England captain and Tottenham Hotspur forward Harry Kane wore a rainbow armband as a gesture of LGBT outreach, and the team vowed to donate a chunk of their Euros match fees and prize money to the NHS. And for some time now, the team have taken a knee before kickoff in solidarity with the Black Lives Matter movement.
I think ahead of a European Championship where, you know, the games are going around Europe, around the world, that moment just before the kickoff, which will be shown everywhere, will have a significant impact. And if we can affect only a handful of people, then we've made the world better for others.
All of which has gone over predictably badly with a cohort of England fans, which also overlaps significantly with the voter base of the present government of the UK. Accordingly, the knee-taking in particular has vexed Prime Minister Boris Johnson, who refused to condemn England fans who booed when the team enacted the ritual.
Some of the crowd just booed the England team for taking the knee. Can we get your reaction to that, please?
Everybody should cheer for England,
Everybody should cheer for it.
And Home Secretary Priti Patel, who made it clear that she didn't support it and refused to confirm that she wouldn't boo it herself.
I just don't support people participating in that type of gesture politics to a certain extent as well.
Do you think the England fans are right to boo?
Well, that's a choice for them, quite frankly.
Would you be booing if you're in the stands?
I've not gone to a football match to even sort of, you know, contemplate that. But I maintain my point, quite frankly.
Inevitably, both Johnson and Patel ostentatiously swaddled themselves in England shirts as the team progressed through the recent championships. But after the tournament ended, amid large-scale yobbery by England fans before the final and online abuse of the team's black players afterwards, the team declined to agree that all was now forgiven. When Priti Patel tweeted a pro forma condemnation of the racist hostility directed at the squad, England and Aston Villa defender Tyrone Mings responded, and it's worth quoting in full. "You don't get," said Mings, "to stoke the fire at the beginning of the tournament by labelling our anti-racism message as gesture politics and then pretend to be disgusted when the very thing we're campaigning against happens." In commentator parlance, Mings has gone in studs up with both feet there, but you can't deny that he has played the ball. It now seems that a planned visit by the near-victorious team to Downing Street has been shelved. The official line is that the Football Association said before the game that they didn't think a reception would be appropriate in the event of loss. However, a perception that the players didn't fancy the Prime Minister's company has taken hold, and the players have discovered, since Sunday's disappointment, that the voices supporting them are at least as loud as those which booed at them.
The England players have done so well, and then to receive the racist abuse is absolutely shocking. It's not something we can condone, and we fully support the team and all the players, don't matter what colour you are.
Boris Johnson may now be happier than most Italians about the way the penalty shootout went. A national sports team is never an entirely reliable avatar of national character. To conclude that this New England represents, well, a New England, would be foolhardy. But this team have made it clear that they intend to ask the odd question of their fans, their country, and their government. The answers, for better and for worse, will be instructive. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.